Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
On the Sidelines with the Dogs.
We're going to get you caught up on the NBA trade deadline. If you're just joining the show, thank you. Lots of movement today in the NBA, specifically with the Cleveland Cavaliers, who basically will bring a new team to town on Friday night when they take on the Hawks. We'll get into that coming up, guys. And also the big news in the NFL, which we'll get back into and how it affects our Falcons. It is time to go on the Sidelines with the Dogs, and that is brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
Yeah, I'm on brightboxelectrical.com, 770-901-2500 for all things electrical. But, Carl, if you need a new man cave or you want something as far as home security, home monitoring, they can help you out. So give them a buzz, 770-901-2500. They are a cool ray company.
All right, man, let's talk about Kirby and the job that he did yesterday. Everyone's still in awe, I think, of Georgia actually being the number one recruiting class. Guys, to put this in perspective, and I was talking to somebody last night about this because they were like, well, what really, like, what's the big deal? Since 2010, Alabama has had the number one recruiting class. Since 2010.
Right.
And all of a sudden, whoop, it's Georgia. So, you know, it's not to say, again, that there haven't been great classes. Obviously, those, you know, those Sony Michel, Nick Chubb classes that came in and the guys that led the way to the championship game this year was a big part of this. But now, to say and you know, legitimately, Mike, that we have a class that we can build on adding depth, some of these guys are going to be immediate starters. Kirby talked about it. One of the things he mentioned on the SEC Network was the competition between Fromm and Fields and how that will play out.
Well, I'll be honest with you, I don't think you have a lot of conversations. Obviously, throughout the recruitment of Justin Fields, we had that conversation. But Jake Fromm understands, just like we went out to go sign him to compete and find playing time, we're doing the same thing with Justin Fields. So these two young men are fiercer competitors as they are. I'm so excited about how much better they're going to make each other. Because what we've seen on our team and our roster is that we've improved each recruiting class. The competition on the field has been fierce. So that drives each guy to get better.
And hopefully that's what happens, Mike.
Now, you mentioned Tyson Campbell, a guy that was once considered a favorite for LSU in Miami. And a guy that, you know, it's interesting. You talk about who the schools you're going up against. We mentioned this if you missed the show yesterday. Remember all the people that were not maybe freaking out, but all the comments, oh, Jim Harbaugh, he's going to come in here and steal us blind. No. Kirby's putting up the wall, man, and that's the key. Now, the team you really got to stave off, obviously, other than Alabama, is Clemson. And Clemson usually gets some players from Georgia. We know that. But Clemson closed. But are you surprised that Alabama did not get into the top 10? Which has Alabama fans, of course, losing their minds right now, even though, you know, they still got, I would imagine the cupboard is still pretty well stocked.
I think so, too. And if I'm a Bama fan, you know, I'm not pulling my hair out over this. You still have the best coach in college football, and you still have a bunch of studs that are currently there. But I think, Mike, to be honest with you, this is partly the effect of these assistants leaving. I don't think people realize, maybe they do now, how important Kirby was in closing some of these deals while he was at Alabama and the kids that they had there. You see what he's doing at Georgia. Jeremy Pruitt came in. Offensive coordinators have changed. You've had, what, three in the last 18 months or whatever it's been.
Right.
Those guys help in the recruiting process. It's not like Nick Saban's on the phone all day. So when you start talking about losing those assistants, those key assistants, I think this might be a little bit of that playing out, and we're finally seeing it. It didn't hurt Bama in years previous. I think for the first time we're seeing that happen this year.
Why do you hate Bama so much?
It's a good question.
Well,
good
I mean,
question.
You know, again, Pruitt. Now, Jeremy Pruitt had some guys on the hook that eventually Georgia got too, and then those kids apparently got a mean phone call, if you believe some of the rumors that are floating out there, that when Pruitt was like, well, blank you! Like, no, I don't know if he said that, but there seemed like there was some hurt feelings with a couple of recruits who at the 11th hour decided to switch their commitments. One thing about Georgia, obviously you're going to get people sniping at you. Surprised to hear a smiling Dan Mullen taking a shot, Carl. I mean, now, look, he's talking to his boosters. I understand the room he's speaking with, but Dan Mullen talking to the Florida Gator
this
faithful.
Yeah, but I think, Mike, when you start saying stuff like this, okay, you're building it up. You're going at it.
He says, listening, winning one SEC championship game doesn't make you a dominant program.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
Quote, in two of the last 3 years, we've been to the SEC championship game. So even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while.
And the fans roared with applause and
Woo!
Laughter.
Yeah.
Mullen for president.
Yeah, that guy won 2 out of 3, and that's why he's not here anymore. The head shark humper. Yeah, talking about a blind guy playing with his nuts. But as far as a squirrel and Dan Mullen throwing out there, yeah, you're speaking to your fan base. You're getting them fired up. But right now, Florida is looking up at Georgia. And that's not hype. That's not us being homers.
No.
Same for Tennessee. The thing is, now you've built this advantage. You've got to maintain that high ground. And Florida had a decent recruiting class. And we both respect Dan Mullen. We're kind of wondering why he didn't get the job sooner in Gainesville. But right now, to sit there and think that the Georgia era with Mark Richt compared to where it is now. This is a completely different dynamic, as we said to start the show. New sheriff in town named Kirby Smart.
And for dog fans, please realize, you're going to be favored in almost every game this season, okay?
Even coming the LSU game.
Absolutely. I mean, the dynamic has changed where, and you know, going into the Florida game, oh, it's a rivalry game. You're better. You should be better. And I think the expectation now is, you know what? The Dogs are expected to win that game. Maybe this is the run we've been talking about, Mike, where, you know, you're not going to win every year. But maybe you win the next 3 or 4, and you're dominant in those wins. Kirby went on to talk about the fact that there are certain things we look for in guys that we try to recruit.
13 of the 26 guys that we just signed played for a state championship. 25 of the 26 we just signed have been multi-sport athletes. So we're really excited. We look for those kind of qualities in our players, and we got a great academic class coming in, so there's a lot of good things mixed in this class.
All right, so you talk about Power 5 conferences on National Signing Day. In the ACC, Boston College, just to give you an example, ranked 67. Mm-hmm. In the Big 12, Texas Tech was 74. You would think, well, they should be doing better. Northwestern, 59. Northwestern was better than Boston College and Texas Tech. And then in the Pac-12, you had Oregon State at 70. And in the SEC, Arkansas, which I don't know what they're going to be.
That's Chad Morris, right?
54.
Right? Chad Morris took that job?
He
right?
did.
Yeah,
he
from
left,
SMU
he
after
left
you left
SMU.
SMU. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just saying, you think because you're a Power 5 school, you should have a dominant recruiting class. It doesn't play out that way. And I'm going to tell you, the one school, sorry, AT, that I think I'm more disappointed in is at Orgeron. I just think, you know, again, if you own your state and you're at Orgeron, he can recruit. We've heard it, Mike. We've talked about it. You're out of the top 10. Why?
Yeah, they are saying, though, that in some of the cases of, in case you're wondering where LSU wasn't hired, that Jimbo Fisher came in the 11th, speaking of the 11th hour, Jimbo Fisher poached a number of talent from East Texas that LSU thought they might be getting. And Jimbo Fisher also poaches a quarterback that Florida State thought they might have had a shot at. We mentioned Florida State also closing strongly after being outside the top 20 with Coach Willie Taggart in the first year. But, yeah, Jimbo Fisher did a nice job to finish in the 16th, according to Rivals, ranked recruiting class.
A few weeks ago, A&M was like 33.
Right.
So you talk about closing strong, because closing strong basically means, guys, yeah, you got the verbals, but until they're signed, and he signed and finished strong. So we'll see what he does with that talent.
Well, don't forget, LSU moved on from Matt Canada.
That's right.
Everybody loves Ed Orgeron. I mean, he's the kind of guy you want on the recruiting trail. You want to have him doing the rubber chicken circuit, talking to your boosters. Arthur, I think this is going to be Ole Miss all over again.
Yeah, it's scaring me each and every day. As a matter of fact, guys, LSU has reportedly added former Florida Alabama OC Doug Nussmeier
okay.
to their staff.
Okay.
So that's a solid hire.
Well, he did a good job with McElwain down there. I mean, that is a good hire.
But they still need to find a quarterback.
Well, and that's how does that not happen in this recruiting class? Seriously. I mean, like we talk about the Falcons and prioritizing. How do you not have a meeting with your staff and go, okay, guys, listen, we are great on defense. We need a quarterback.
But here's the thing. This is why, guys, when we talk about this whole process, it goes on for a year. You're talking to coaches. You're talking to these guys as juniors. Okay, maybe a kid was interested when Matt Canada was told he was coming in. Now, right, season's over. You got a new OC. You've had the early signing period. It throws a real monkey in the wrench if a kid – I don't know how kids feel about these things, but the X's and O's, if they feel it's a system fit for them. But anyway, they still don't have the thing that they haven't had for a decade.
Yeah.
A QB.
Well, and I talk about this every year when recruiting rolls around. Kids choose coaches, especially if the coach has a connection with that kid. And if Matt Canada, Mike, for your example, if there are a couple of quarterbacks that had a connection with Matt Canada and he's not there anymore, well, I'm not going to LSU. So, you know, that's a big part of this. When you hear kids like Deshaun Watson a few years ago say, yeah, Clemson was on me. They were on me 3 years prior to anybody
right.
else. That stuff matters to young men where you feel like you've been wanted from the jump. Not not guys jumping in late and then going, hey, we really need you. So all that plays out, man. But congratulations to the Dogs. Great recruiting class. We'll see. Now, like I said, now I want to see what he does with it.
Now, the other thing is, and a lot of guys ask us earlier, we talked about this on yesterday's program, you know, what was Georgia Tech? Georgia Tech finished in 52nd, according to Rivals. They had 3 4-star recruits. It's just never going to be the top story because there's just not the interest. Because when Georgia knocks it out of the park the way they do, and these guys are household names for the people that are following it, it's just a different type of recruiting process for Georgia Tech. Now, Georgia Tech needs to get on the ball defensively with a new coordinator, and they got to get back. Remember, the bowl streak is over. It didn't go last year.
It doesn't mean that Georgia Tech certainly can't be successful. Doesn't mean they can't have a 10 or 11-win season by no stretch. But to Mike's point, in essence, what Kirby did is he went and took the best player almost out of every state.
Right.
I mean, really, that's what we're talking about.
And that's
and that those eyes, whether you are from, you know, Texas, whether you're from Florida, he went and plucked guys out. And then he won in his own state. All those fans are watching those kids.
And by the way, for the Alabama fans that are lighting this up on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, because they do keep score on this stuff, Alabama was, as we ended the show yesterday, outside the top 10. They finished in the top 10 in like a 7th or 8th in some
people's. Okay, but 1 to 10, what happened?
I hear you, man.
That's all I'm saying.
I know.
I'm not hating. That's facting, right?
Why are you hating on Bama so much?
I mean, honestly.
Why do you hate Bama?
You've been, wait a minute. Think of, you've been one, Mike, since 2010. You win another national championship. You go from 1 to 10. What happened?
Well, again, guys, at some point when you start losing all your assistants, things change. You know, see Florida State, when they lost the team that I followed all these years, when they started losing all their assistants from Coach Bowden's staff. You know, you got to replenish. You don't always knock it out of the park. We'll see how Saban does moving forward. But Jeremy Pruitt was a big-time recruiter. Obviously, you've seen what Kirby's doing.
Yeah, I would love to hear Bama fans. I mean, listen, you can tell me, oh, this is a down year. Bama don't have down years. They don't. I mean, that's what it's been since Nick Saban has gotten there, since they started winning. So if you're going to tell me that, I'm just curious to know the philosophy of what you think happened and how they lost out on some kids that they thought they were going to get.
ESPN's got a 6. Shut up. Roll damn tide.
404-741-0929.
Why don't you tell your safety to cover our guy?
Yeah, I know. I knew you were going to go there.
National champions.
You can hit us up. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. And you can call as well, as always, guys. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk about the NBA and the big trades that are going on. By the way, Mike, I just saw this. I think I said this to you already. What's this guy's name, AT? I'm looking at it from the Hawks. Oh.
The dude from Florida State.
Okoro White.
He gone.
Yeah. So
it's just getting some space. You're clearing some cap. Who was saying that? With Babbitt? Who the hell?
Luke Babbitt.
So they get some 3-point help down in Miami, and we get a guy that's got a bum foot and he's gone. So you're getting an expiring contract. The big story, though, is how the Cavs basically just cleaned house and they've got a whole new lineup. And now can LeBron, hey, still before the All-Star break, can they get it in gear and compete for the Eastern Conference? I mean,
so no moves for the Hawks, though. What's that mean? I mean, does it mean anything?
It means no one was interested in what they had.
Right. Right.
Well, look at the bright side. I'm still here. Schroeder goes nowhere. You were trying to send me to Sacramento.
That was AT, actually. He was trying to train
me. I can't believe Arthur is so angry all the time. You know, Arthur, why don't you get the blonde patch? Oh, that's right. You're bald.
Hey, Dennis, just think Oklahoma.
You know what? Why don't we go get a hookah bar together? Call it Dennis and AT's hookah bar.
Let's not, okay?
We don't want – there's not enough hookah bars in Cobb County, come to think of it.
Anyway, no, so as far as the Hawks, they do have a chance. If you could argue if you can put it together next year for a run at free agents. But as you said, we've talked about it. Until you have the stars that everybody wants to play with, you're on the outside looking in.
Yep.
To be that team. That's the reality. If you think super teams are good, they're good for the people to get them. You don't have a guy to start. You don't have that building block for a super team. You're screwed.
Yeah. Well, and remember, Golden State didn't start this way. I mean, I keep using them as an example because Schlink came from there.
Right.
But they drafted the right guys. And then once that happened, and the chemistry and the coach, you got to put all that together, then that attracted other people to go on to come there. But, yeah, Golden State didn't start this way.
The big story today, obviously, and this has got super-duper repercussions for the Falcons, is the contract for Jimmy Garoppolo. And the question now, Carl and I have, we'll talk more about it coming up at 5 in the Falcon Report, but – how soon does Matt Ryan's deal get done before more guys get crazy money that aren't as good as Matt Ryan?
A bunch. Maybe 3 more, I'm guessing.
Right.
I'm thinking 3 more. Hey, guys, Atlanta United fans, are you going to Nashville? I put it out there on my Twitter today. People hit me up. Yeah, we're going. Stop by Tailgate Brewery. Music Row from 1 to 6 p.m. Central Time for 92.9 The Game's Atlanta United Welcome Party. Tomorrow, guys, we'll be talking plenty about what else is going on in the world of football, the follow-up to the trade deadline. But we're also talking United, Dukes and Bell. That's us. We'll be broadcasting live, And we'll also talk to Michael Parkhurst and Brad Guzan, right?
Oh, Guz, cool.
He's going to stop by. They'll be making an appearance. So we'll be giving away some prizes as well. It's going to be a fun day, man. And one of those prizes is a Greg Garza signed ball. Mike, you cannot have it.
Hey, that's my guy. He's like the Energizer Bunny, number four. He gives up his body every day, Carl, just like I do.
Hey, what? Man, Atlanta United t-shirts, stickers, all kind of stuff going on. Again, Tailgate Brewery, Music Row from 1 to 6 Central Time tomorrow.
That's going to be a blast. It's like spring training in one of the coolest cities to party. And our boss apparently has got something going on out there. I don't know. Mark, Carl, I'll tell you what. It's a conspiracy wrapped in an enigma, wrapped in a riddle.
Enigma?
Yeah.
This is a party jam right here. It is Dukes and Bell. You're going, yeah, I remember that song. Well, trying to play it into something we're about to talk about because during the break, we're trying to find out with all the deals that have been done in the NBA. We told you a little bit more, a little bit about Cleveland trading away Isaiah Thomas. Dwayne Wade goes back to Miami. Channing Frye, they just imploded that thing. But what are the Hawks doing? And in the break, Mike, we found out the Hawks are bringing back the Mac.
Yeah, Sheldon Mack, who's done for the season with a season-ending injury, right, Mike Conte? Is that the latest?
They are not the same person, huh? Guys.
What?
Sheldon Mack and Sheldon Mack are two different people.
Oh, well then, oh, well, all right, good. I said we had that guy already. Okay, good.
So which Mack are we getting?
You're getting Sheldon, who is out for the year with a torn Achilles tendon.
What are we sending the Wizards? What do we send them?
Reportedly a heavily protected second round pick, which means probably nothing.
So again, guys, it's just clearing cap space. The good news is, you know who I love?
Who?
Who's always bringing the heat?
Who?
Oh, Bellinelli. They told Bellinelli he was dead man walking, but he's still here. So Bellinelli's still on the roster. We picked up a guy from the Heat.
He said Sheldon Mack, right? Not Sheldon, who we've had here. Let's hear Return of the Mac again. We had a Mac coming.
Mike just didn't like the fact that we played Return of the Mac. I just, any excuse to play the song is always fun for us.
It's still hot. I try.
Return of the Mac. Return of the Mac.
Think it, AC.
Return of the Mac.
My God. All right, so it is Sheldon.
I played that song on the radio in Fort Myers, by the way.
Dude, that was, I'm telling you, that was the joint. Sheldon Mack, not Shelvin, for Hawks fans. And you just heard Conte say he's hurt, so he won't.
We got a guy from the Heat with a bad foot, and we got a guy with, anyway, it's just moving money and moving, saving up some space. And it's, so there's your big moves. Look, we knew nothing was going to happen. We're positioning the Hawks for either 19 or 20 to do some. We'll see. First things first, ping pong balls. Get that number 1, 2, 3
pick.
6:30 pregame with my aforementioned Mike Conte, the Hawks in Magic from Orlando tonight.
All right, man. The news today, we're going to talk plenty more about this coming up at 5 o'clock. In about 10 minutes from now, we're going to talk a little college basketball. Number 9, Duke travels to number 21, North Carolina. We've got the game right here tonight, Clark Atlanta. Taking on Morehouse, some good games in college basketball. We're going to talk to our man, Deshaun Tate, kind of get his feel for the best players. And who should we really be looking at? We've had this conversation, Mike. We're going to amp it up as we get closer to March Madness and certainly get a chance to see some of these stars. We've been talking about Trey Young and who's the guy you want from Bagley, from Duke?
I want Marvin Bagley, Trey Young. I know that everybody's enamored with the big 7-footer from Arizona.
Ayton?
Everything you hear from guys that are in the know, I mean, the supposed guys. And now we spoke yesterday. We have Daryl Walker on yesterday from Clark Atlanta. And, you know, the thing is, and they play tonight, by the way, against Morehouse. So tonight is the battle. But he liked the big fella, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It likes the big fella. Go ahead.
As a matter of fact, if you want to take a look at Ayton tonight, they play UCLA on ESPN at 10 o'clock.
Okay. All right. So, guys.
And by the way, real quick, not to interrupt, but if you're curious, you're going, all right, I hadn't seen this Ayton kid. He's aggressive around the hoop, and he will dunk on you. And he can block shots, and he is affecting the game in many ways. Mike, I'm just a believer, and I said this to a guy the other day. We were texting or tweeting back and forth. I like playmakers. I think we are in a playmakers league now. We are not – if you're a big that can shoot and stretch fours and all this stuff, that's great. But, again, tell me the most dominant big man right now in the league, and is that team dominating the league?
No. It's just – don't you think we've moved on now? It's the point guard-driven league. You could argue, and Bagley, by the way, I know that some guys feel that he's Chris Bosh with a little more athleticism. Right, that's one of the things that Coach Walker brought up yesterday. That's not the worst thing in the world.
No.
You know, I mean, I know that everyone is enamored with the big guy, but how many teams are rocking and rolling with the big guy as the focal point of their offense?
I don't know, man. I think if you get playmakers and you have an exciting style of play and shot makers, that's what we want.
Right. And we need fannies in the seats. And the reason we need Trey Young is he's a biracial angel. We'll bring the entire city together, Carl, from the barbershops of Auburn Avenue to the golf courses up there on Windward Parkway. Everybody will want to see this young poor man's version of Steph Curry as he develops into a larger human being.
Okay,
hopefully.
Wait. Isn't that kind of an insult, though, when you go, yeah, he's great, poor man's version of Steph Curry?
Well, until he gets a little bit bigger, because right now he's getting pushed around a little bit. That was the thing against West Virginia. He had to fight for those 30. Those guys are putting a body on him a little bit.
But the big story today, as we got sidetracked there, is the contract of Garoppolo. And if you again, haven't heard this story, we're still getting the numbers because the contract hasn't been finalized. You know, this is how this happens. The report gets out there. People start speculating about what it'll be. And then you get the finalized deal. Adam Schefter was reporting that he believes it will be upwards of $90 million in guarantees. Now, to me, that sounds more like it because Stafford got $92 million in guaranteed money. We initially started the show and said we thought Garoppolo was going to get $74 million. Either way, guys, he's looking at $27.5 million on average per season, and that is the highest in the NFL.
So the contract, you know, if it works out for the 49ers, some are saying, as crazy as these numbers sound, moving forward with the cap space that they've got for Lynch, the GM, now to move and make some other moves moving forward, that this might not be the worst deal at all, of all time either, because Cousins is going to get more than him. Ryan, Aaron Rodgers are all going to get way more. Now, again, is Garoppolo going to be the next Scott Mitchell? I don't know. I think him and Shanahan, that's a pretty good pairing. And for those who don't remember, Scott Mitchell was a guy the Lions threw a ton of money at the time to after basically doing the same thing Garoppolo did. It was seven games of relief for Dan Marino for the Dolphins, and then he went on to be the Lions QB, for good or for bad, you know. But
Lefty, right?
Yep.
Was he?
Look at you.
He was a lefty.
Big brain on you. But, yeah, in the case of Garoppolo, so far so good, and he played against DC. It wasn't like you were going and beating all the bad teams. The 49ers actually beat some teams that were pretty solid last year with Garoppolo at the helm.
I was impressed with what he was able to do. Again, guys, he came in like halfway through the season, set for a while, and then all of a sudden they throw him in there and he doesn't lose a game. Again, don't know what it means, but that is the big news because we're trying to figure out what Matt's going to get, and we'll continue to have this conversation in the 5 o'clock hour and break it down a little bit more for you as we continue to move along.
And all right, how about this? $105 million guaranteed for Matt.
Over the first 3 years?
I don't know how they work it. Here's why, and we talked about this, and we will, as you said, get in depth, but Arthur, when he said, and he was throwing it out there, it's not like we don't know that Matt's going to be the highest paid quarterback. It's how the contract gets written. Right? Could you read that into how Arthur was talking earlier this week?
I did, yes, and I believe that. I think, you know, again, we get caught up with that big number because that's as fans, we see that. We go, $137 million. Now, Garoppolo may see most of that because, again, he's 26. If he stays healthy, Mike. But my thing is, the way these contracts are structured, usually, especially with quarterbacks these days, it is the first 3 years where they see a majority of that guaranteed money, and then their cap hit becomes so enormous in years 4 and 5 that you're almost forced to restructure the deal. And so, you know, that's why Matt, in the first year of his deal that he signed back in, what was it, 2013, I believe it was? He was like a $8 or $9 million cap hit. It wasn't hurting the football team. So I think a lot of the ways that these teams structure these deals is a big part of why or how they're able to pull off these deals.
But the question is, you know, when you do backload the contract, and again, guys a lot smarter than us will be working on this at the branch.
Say that again.
Dion, we're talking about Debo, Keanu Neal, you know, Grady Jarrett, Tag Vic, all these guys' contract down the road. Now, what is Matt's contract hit going to look like back then? We just assume, I think rightly so far, because even with the ratings are down, we mentioned this earlier, that the salary cap keeps going up because the NFL keeps making more money. So as long as the cap keeps going up, then you can do some of these things. But I do think, and I think you agree with me, do this contract yesterday before Cousins and other guys set the market again.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and AT, maybe you can take a look at this. Tell me, because we know Tom Condon represents all these guys. Condon dictates that, doesn't he? I mean, isn't he going to say, okay, wait, I'd rather take care of this guy, and we need to take a look at who else is potentially going to get new deals, who falls under his realm. But, Mike, he's going to wait until the market gets set so he can get the highest paid guys the most money. I don't think he's going to say, hey, we need to do this deal now, and the Falcons may be wanting to do that. But
Tom Condon represents, and this is as of 2 years ago, so this could have changed, Eli, Sam Bradford, Drew Brees, Matthew Stafford, Ryan, Alex Smith.
Okay. So he does not rep Aaron Rodgers. He does not, but he has Brees, right?
I'll look it up.
Okay. I'm just saying.
Yeah, Breeze is going to make a King's ransom, well, see, too. The... But again, also on a three-year, you know, 3 years.
Right.
Because and the Saints probably don't want to take that fourth year on that either, right?
Yeah, I just think that if I'm the agent, wouldn't you wait? I mean, I'd love for us to do this deal now, but I'm going, wait a minute, guys. I got to wait to see what else happens here with some of these other signings. It is Dukes and Bell, 404-741-0929. We are live inside the Kia Studios. Coming up, we'll talk some college basketball and some big games tonight we'll talk about as well. 5 o'clock, it's the Falcon Report, guys. And remember, we are out at 6:30 tonight for Hawks basketball as they go down and take on Orlando, back home to take on the Cavs on Friday night. Hey, Deshaun Tate will join us here in just a few minutes. Stay right there. We'll talk some college hoops.
This is Tate's Take with Deshaun Tate, featuring NCAA college basketball on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is almost time. March Madness right around the corner. By the way, I don't know if the Dogs are going to make the NCAA tournament. Did you see they lost to Vandy?
Yeah, and Mark Fox is like, I don't know how to motivate these guys. And when you hear things like that, it's like, yikes. I mean, at least he's being honest, but the Georgia coach in a year where those who do care about Georgia basketball are saying enough is enough. You know, two trips and no advancement, this is not getting the job done in 9 years now?
9 years. It's a long time. Right now, let's spend a few minutes to talk with our man, Deshaun Tate.
I love this kid.
Follow him on social media at Tate's Takes. That's a tongue twister.
Yeah, right.
You got to give a Tate's, Twitter handle he can pronounce.
Tate's Take Sports.
Correct.
Okay. Just making sure.
Oh, yeah.
All right, man. Let's talk about tonight.
I would just go with Deshaun Hoops, but that's me.
Easy, right? Let's talk about tonight with Duke, number 9 Duke, traveling to North Carolina. Saw the promos. Mike and I talked about it earlier this week. They're trying to hype this up. The rivalry. The intensity. Mm. It's not the same.
No. It's not the same game that, you know, most people expect and what we see. I mean, it is one of the better rivalries in all of sports, the best one in all of college basketball. But look, I mean, there is some things to put to this. You know, when you're looking at Duke, a team that came out ranked number one, got an awesome recruiting class, the number one player by position coming into the class, the number one point guard, shooting guard, power forward, center, one guy from here in Wendell Carter. And then North Carolina is the defending champ. So, I mean, you know, they've got 7 losses on the year so far already, but it seemed like it might be a little bit of a watered-down rivalry, but, you know, you never know. It looks like the consensus probably takes Duke here, but it's at the Dean Dome, so it should be interesting. Every rivalry game, you can never just automatically pencil somebody in.
But the injuries with North Carolina, you know, the strangest suspensions, I mean, just weird. And Roy, just as times when I watch them, again, it's hard to watch, to Sean's point, to watch UNC. He just looks like he's done with some of these guys. But what about George? Let's get back to how we started this conversation.
Sure.
Mark Fox, the current Joe Lunardi cap or bracketology, has got 7 teams from the SEC going right now, guys. How does Mark Fox survive this job? I mean, and by the way, can you ever get it cooking again at Athens, too, as a follow-up?
Well, at minimum, Georgia has to make the NCAA tournament. I don't care what happens, they have to make the tournament. And at this point, just the way it's looking, I mean, they're, 4-7 in the SEC right now. They started off really good. They started dropping some games a little bit, a little late. You know, an Alabama team who's been, you know, looking pretty good as of late, they beat that Alabama team, but then you follow that up with some losses to some teams that, you know, this Georgia team shouldn't lose to, especially with a predicted conference player of the year in Yante Mayton.
Right.
And the down part about that is he's the only guy scoring, averaging double digits on this team. That's a little on the unfortunate side. But looking ahead, you know, it may not mean a whole lot right now, 2019 recruiting class, but Georgia has the number one recruiting class in the country. And we're not talking about football, folks. We're talking about basketball. And that's, of course, right now. Of course, Duke and Kentucky, right. Kansas, everybody else hasn't gotten their hands on everybody yet. But for right now, it looks good. But at the end of the day, Mark Fox, talking about this year, he has to get it done by going to the tournament.
We're talking with Deshaun Tate here in studio on Dukes and Bell. Coming up in 10 minutes, we're going to talk Falcons and the Falcon Report and the big contract for Garoppolo today. And quarterbacks, they got to be rubbing their hands together going, this is great. And what it means for Matt Ryan. Right now, some college hoops. As far as this discussion on who the best player is in the country, in your opinion, who is it and why?
The best player in the country is Trae Young right now. He's playing as the best player in the country right now. The guy with the best potential is not Trae Young, but the guy with the best, that's the best player right now. I mean, arguably, with a guy who's leading the nation in points and in assists, something I'm not even sure has even been done. And that's kind of hard to override and go with a whole nother guy here. Now he's moved up the draft boards. We're talking about a guy who is probably, you know, looking at late part of a mid to late first round on the draft boards that'll be coming up, and up until just recently. Now he's looking at probably a top five, maybe even top three. I've even heard some conversations about what happens if he goes number one and things of that nature. But keep one thing in mind when you're talking about Trae Young. This guy's not just scoring and averaging the most in assists in the country, but he's doing it with a bunch of guys on his team that's probably never going to see an NBA floor. They're not five-star recruits on his team. He's not doing this with Kentucky-type or Duke-type guys.
Right.
He's doing this with a little bit of lower-caliber type of talent.
Very good college players, but not NBA-caliber type guys.
Very good, very good. And young guys, too. Brady Manick, a guy who they rely upon a lot to shoot the outside jump shot and can dunk the ball on you and different things like that on the inside. I like Trae Young.
It's our man, DeShawn Tate. Hey, check out his blogs, by the way, at 929thegame.com. Best college basketball info, good stuff. Joins us here live in studio. By the way, so if you can have only one, Bagley, Trae Young. I know guys like Ayton as well, the big fella. You'll see him tonight if you want to stay up late. One guy said earlier, who stayed up at 10 o'clock to watch Pac-12 basketball?
I got two
hands
up.
Well, you have to. But. Oh. So DeShawn and degenerate gamblers and Arthur if he can't sleep.
Yeah, just don't watch.
All right, man. who's your guy, man? Let's just say the ping pong balls fall, we're number one.
I got to go with the bag man. I got to go with Marvin Bagley. I call him the bag man. I got to go with this guy. I mean, everybody's been spot on talking about Chris Bosh, you know, and the comparisons of him. I like Marvin Bagley number one. It may be a little premature, but ever since I saw this kid, I was like, you know what? This is the type of guy, and I'm not saying he'll do this, but the type of player. I call him a future NBA top 10-time NBA All-Star at one point. So that's how high I am on this kid. He's slim. He got to add some pounds, but let's just enjoy what he is in college. And he looks like a monster in college, and you'll see that tonight against Carolina, I'm sure.
All right, as we get closer to the tournament, last thing for me, DeShawn, and again, check him out on social media. This tournament is going to be wide open, though. There is no dominant team in this year's NCAA tournament. You look around the country, you said it, some great players. We mentioned a couple, but no dominant teams.
Yeah, no dominant teams. I mean, it looks like that was Virginia up until Villanova. Oh. They took a loss to St. John's last night.
First time St. John's has been a number one since 1985 when Chris Mullin was on the court.
Well, and we just said this. We were talking about this maybe 3 weeks ago, and we said, man, Chris Mullin's not doing anything up there
at St.
John's.
It's his first conference win, by the way.
Yeah. And Purdue was just on a 19-win game win streak up until last night. So now the somewhat, I guess, boring, a lot of people can't embrace the style of Virginia. They're going to be the new number one if they can take care of Virginia Tech this weekend, and then there's Michigan State and Duke, and I mean, there's a couple other guys to follow. So there's definitely some good teams, some good brand of basketball being played.
All right, man, you do a blog, you write stuff. It's always on the website, right?
That is for sure.
92.9 The Game.
I'm so proud of DeShawn staying focused, knowing Michigan State's about to get the death penalty.
Yeah, he had the audacity to tell me Sparty's going to win it. Okay, slow your roll, Playboy. Hey, man, coming up. It's the Falcon Report, and today it's really the quarterback report, Mike. Yeah. I mean, that's what we're talking about.
It's like reading Forbes. It's the richest men in America report is what it is.
We'll get to it coming up here on Dukes and Bell.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.